3 through 16, which is about widows, how to handle, how to address widows in the church. Okay, and when Jason said, have a fun time doing this one, because how are we going to make it relate to teenagers? Well, that was just enough challenge, that comment was just enough challenge to find a bunch of things. And actually, there are a lot of things that we can take out of this. So I'm excited to look at this tonight, and I pray we do get something out of it. We are transitioning back to the church, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it. We had a great summer out in the park, and we learned a lot. God did a lot. But we're here now. We'll probably have an activity after the Bible study every time, but we'll talk more about that later. For now, let's pray and look to the Lord. Lord, do direct our hearts and focus our hearts in on this tonight, and do speak to us, and do show us what you'd have us do from what we hear and what we learn, and what you can help us obtain from your word. Lord, it is living, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Timothy, what's it about? What's the book about? How to conduct yourself in the church of God. How to act at church. And it applies to all of our stages. Whether we're small, a child, teenager, young adult, older adult, he addresses all aspects of the people in the church, and that's all of us. Tonight, he talks about widows. Not last week, not the week before, but 3 weeks ago, we talked about 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, Jason went into, and how to address the younger, addressing the older, and exhort, and older women, how to address people at church, and Jason had some good points on how you can reach out to every person in the church, not just the people that you like, or not just the people your age, but everyone in the church. Now we're going to talk about widows. Let's read a few verses here to get a flavor for what's going on. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Okay. Okay. What is a widow? What is a widow? Yes. The spouse has died. And this seems to be talking about women who are widows. There's widowers who are men who have lost a wife. Widow is a woman who's lost a husband to death. Do we know any widows or any widowers? Do we know any? Yeah, Don. Don that comes, he lost his wife. He's a widower. I thought of Rose Marie. She comes to our church. She lost her husband. And now someone popular, a music phenomenon. Jeremy Camp lost his wife. He was a widower, and now he's remarried again. But so this hits home. This hits home to people in the church. We do know people. The church is supposed to help widows only if, and when I say help, I'll explain that in a minute, only if certain requirements are met. And it talks all about these requirements. Who is really a widow? And who is not really a widow? Even though they are a widow, they don't meet the requirements for the church to financially help them. It is the children's responsibility or the grandchildren's responsibility to take care of the widow, to repay their parents. The first day Angelina was born, I said, "Thank you, Mom and Dad, for all that you've done for me." In the first day that Angelina was born, my oldest daughter, I did more for that child than I ever done for anyone else in the whole entire world. I worked harder than I ever did for anyone else. And I just realized, it hit me like a ton of bricks, how much our parents do for us from the first day. And mothers, from even before the first day of our lives. Sarah had a lot before that. But this is fitting. It says repay. And that's, it's just, it's just one thing that we can do, repay them for all that they've done for us. But we all have needs, right? We all have needs. We have, what kind of needs do we have? We have spiritual needs, right? We come to church, we get our spirit fed, we read the Bible, we pray. We have emotional needs. And we have physical needs, right? We're made up of body, soul, and spirit, so it just makes sense that we have all those three types of needs. It seems that widows or widower is in most dire need of all those needs to be met. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Physically meaning financially. If it's a widow, a woman who hasn't worked, they need someone to provide money. If it's they just lost a spouse, so they have tremendous emotional needs. And physical needs we already talked about, and spiritual needs too. It's a big transition. So here's Timothy, a young man, and he's like, what do I do? I'm sure he's asking Paul, or Paul's sharing with him, and he's going to make it crystal clear. There's like a list of who is really a widow, and then a list of what to do. It just details it out for us. So Timothy can make no mistake that he's going to do the right thing. Okay, and that's what's so awesome about the Bible. It really tells us how to live our life. It lights our path. It gives us clear direction for our lives. That's why we got to be in it. Okay. It says, I believe we read it. Oh no, it's at the end that we say, command these things that everyone, grandchildren, children, men, women, all of us may know, may be blameless, it says at the end. We'll read that at the end. It says, command these things, teach these things in the church so that we all know how to act. We all know what to do. We're not caught surprised. We're not all surprised by the fact that there's widows that have these needs. We all know what to do. We may not all be mothers or grandmothers or a widow or a widower. We may not all be fathers or grandfathers. But we're all children at one point, right? You're a child of your parents. I'm a child of my mom and dad. You're a child of your mom and dad. We're all children. Okay, so we're going to learn what to do. God has a true heart for those that are hurting. And this is a widow, like we said, is hurting. It says in Psalms, and I didn't get a chance to look it up, but it talks a lot about widows and orphans, and God's heart has a particular lean and a particular interest and a particular care for those that are hurting. The Bible gives us a definition of religion, and in recent years or in my life, I've always said, I'm not religious, because we don't like that stereotype. I'm not religious. We say, I have a relationship with Jesus, because people get it confused, and it can be misleading. But the Bible does define religion. Does anyone know where that is? Think of it. In James, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And so here are two key categories of people who are in most dire need. Widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Widows, in fact, were the reason that the office of a deacon was established in Acts. The church had all these needs, and it was coming from a group of people, widows. They didn't know what to do, so much so that they set up a deacon who is a servant who is going to help them. So we learn there's a lot. The Bible says a lot about widows, actually. But let's get into what it says right here. Verse 3 again. Honor widows who are really widows. And he is going to list out what is really a widow. What are the criteria you should be looking for? Okay, first of all, they are left alone. There's no children or no grandchildren that are going to be able to help them. In verse 5, we read that. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Here's some more criteria. She trusts in God, continues in supplications and prayers night and day. She's alive in Christ. Going on in verse 6, she's not living in pleasures, being dead while she lives. But she who lives in pleasures is dead while she lives. She's alive to God. She's not living in pleasure. Here's that verse I was talking about. And these things command that they may be blameless. And they includes all of us. Widows. The widows won't be blameless. We won't be blameless. The children won't be blameless. The children will be blameless, I should say. Will. Going on. We're going to come back to 7 and this 8 here. 8 and 9. Verse 8. We're going to talk about that later. Verse 9. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken in number. Here's another criteria, 60 years old. She has to be over 60 years old. Only had one husband, the wife of one man, well reported for good works. We're just going to keep reading this, and as we read it, you'll hear all these criteria. The end of verse 9 says, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. So she had one husband, well reported for good works. Here's another criteria. If she has, now it explains the good works. It details it out. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So she was a good mom. She was a good host. She's a good sister. She's a good comforter. She's a good worker. So she's abounding in good works, as it was. My question to us is, are we abounding in good works? Can this be said of us? Maybe not she brought up children. Okay. But maybe work with children. Lodge strangers, good host, you're helpful. Wash the saints' feet, you're caring, you'll stoop down and help somebody. Okay, now it's going to tell us, it's listed all of the things that we're looking for in a widow. Now it's going to tell us, but refuse, it says in verse 11, refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. So now it's going to detail out all the things of these younger widows, what to look out for. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So here we have it. They've begun to grow wanton against Christ. They desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. They're learning to be idle. They're wandering about from house to house, gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not. This made me think of a few things. Learn to be idle. Who's seen the show on the Disney Channel? We're at a hotel and we're watching the Disney Channel. It's very funny. Who's seen the show Phineas and Ferb? Have you seen it? It's absolutely wonderful. Okay, in the theme song of the intro, it says there's 162 days of the summer. 104? Okay. You can? Can you? That'll be later. We'll do that later. 104 days of the summer, and what are we going to do? Well, Phineas and Ferb are going to tell us. They're two boys, they're brothers, they're going to tell us what to do. Not to be idle, not to sit around and be idle. Sitting around being idle is the scariest thing that can happen, because it just allows us to get into sin that we don't want to be getting into. Okay, and this is how we can take something out of tonight, if anything. Let's take this. Not to be idle. There's plenty of stuff that we can get involved in. There's plenty of stuff that we can do. I'm glad now that we're back in school, because that's a big part of it. But here at the church, we're here to serve, and there's plenty to do. We've talked about on Tuesday night, I wasn't there, so I shouldn't say we, but they've talked about addressing the needs in the church. We have so many needs, and there's so many needs not being met. Hey, especially young people, you got a lot of energy, and this is where we can put our heart, and this is where we can serve and learn to serve, not learn to be idle. A couple of other points. If you're sitting around just talking, you're going to find something to talk about that probably shouldn't be said. And why I know this is because I've been there. And it's just talk, wandering from house to house. This sounds like my teenagers. No. But gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not. If you talk long enough, you're going to end up saying things that you wish that weren't said. Saying things which they should never have said. But if you talk long enough, you're going to say them. So here's just a few practical points that we can pull out from this. And here's the sad news about these widows. Some have already turned aside after Satan. They've cast off their first faith. And it says it in verse 15. Some have already turned aside after Satan. We don't want that to be us. And we don't want that to be our friends where they're already gone and you can't get them back. They've turned aside to Satan. So now what? He's listed everything about the widows who really are in need, and then these younger widows who've gone towards Satan, it says. What does Paul say, and what does the Bible say? It says, I desire that younger widows do the following. Get married, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In verse 14, therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And this is interesting to me, and it's always been interesting, that you would think that the younger widows might need some more help and might need more support. And, you know, why aren't we helping them? Why isn't the church giving them some money? Why? But God has us, we're going to learn later, God has it so that those who really need the help are getting the help. Let me explain that by saying this. It says, commit these things to faithful men that others may learn also. If we have people who are distracted, and we have people that don't want Jesus, and that have already chosen in their heart to go against God, why should we pour into them? Why should we waste all of our energy, waste all of our resources, and pour into them? When we should be pouring into those who are really going to use it, and really, like we heard, washing the saints' feet and pouring back into it. So the same thing. So in that saying that, let us be about the Lord's work. Let us be like these older widows who are diligently serving, and so that we can be poured into. You know, we have a lot. It's really neat that Jason and I are getting poured into a lot. We've had a lot of men pour into us. Steve's been one of them, and Mike, and we have other women too that are pouring into us. And then it's exciting now. It's our chance to pour into the younger kids and to pour into the children. And we're looking for those that are doing what it says here. Those who are living right, we're looking for faithful men to pass it on to, faithful women to pass it on to. So a couple of verses that we skipped over, and I'm sorry I'm jumping around here, but it's just how it's fitting into my organization here that we came up with. What are the verses that we skipped here? I can't find them. Okay. Verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And that, I never knew that this was in this section. Talking about the widows, it says, you know, as children, we need to be prepared to pour back into, to repay our parents for what they've done, and to provide for his own. So his own is meaning, if your mother or father is a widow, to pour back into them, but especially for those of his own household. And if that's the case, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. So that speaks to me that we need to, those of us who do have a household, that we need to obviously provide for them as God would have it. Have us do that. So, widows. we can look at it that it's not going to be, you know, I don't need to know that, or, you know, how can we pull something from this? But I think that God has something for us here. And that is to obviously provide for the right type of people. And he's detailed it out here so that we can understand it. And then to be more like these older widows who are more mature and who are bringing up children, you know, helping with children, lodging strangers, washing the saints' feet, relieving the afflicted, diligently following every good work, and not distracted and idle. And Phineas and Ferb can help us out with that. To be, to do the Lord's work. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you have us here tonight. We thank you for bringing us here tonight. And I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, continue to work in our lives, that we would have the desire to continue to follow you, to continue to learn, and to continue to grow, so that we can be used. Do direct our steps. Thank you that we are back in school. I pray that you would give us grace, as it's not easy, it's not fun to be working, but it is good as we're growing, we're learning. Keep us unspotted from the world, like you said. It's true religion. And to be concerned with what you're concerned about, to help orphans, help widows, Lord. Show us what we can do and where we can do it. And in regards to this, we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.